The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.
My name is Joel Jackson, the president of the Organized Village of Cake. Glad to be here today.
We're here to talk about the project, Joel, that you've been working on for the Organized Village of Cake, that is a cultural healing center for people struggling with substance abuse and other issues. I was wondering if you could just describe what you mean by healing center to start off.
Well, a healing center, and some people may call it a rehab center, but I choose to call it a healing center because basically that's what it is. And the cultural part is putting our traditional values into part of the treatment for people to ground them in their culture again, which we know that a culture will heal people.
And when you say we, you're talking about the federally recognized tribe of Cake, which is called the Organized Village of Cake.
Yes, the Organized Village of Cake. I brought the project to them probably about a year ago. And it's always been my dream to create something like this.
Why has it always been your dream?
Well, it's very personal. And I don't mind talking about it, is I lost two of my brothers to alcoholism and many family and friends over the years. So I want people to at least have the option if they choose to get treatment.
And you said that there is precedent for using cultural connection for healing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, just an example, and it was back in the late 70s, 80s, we had a bunch of suicides here in Cake, and at that time I was the chief of police for the city of Cake, and this was on my third year being a policeman. We had 15 suicides in 1 year, and before I left my position there, we talked about, a group of us got together and talked about how we could possibly stop and or help our people to where they don't feel like it's, you know, meeting that end that they were, you know, the suicides trying to end it. And one of the things came up was creating a youth culture camp. And then expanded from there to doing other traditional things like carving, weaving, beading, you know, all those things that we had stepped away from since we went the Western way. We tended to forget about our cultural side. Mm-hmm. Once we started that, things kind of returned to normal.
Why do you think it is that heals in that way?
Well, I think just giving people a sense of pride, sense of knowing who they are, because we did have Tlingit speakers and storytellers, and also they knew the history of the families in Cake, the Tlingit side. So getting them to understand who they are, where they come from, who their clan is, and how they're connected across Southeast Alaska. They're not alone by any sense of the means, whether it's family or clan-wise.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that being the chief of police put you in a, gave you a specific lens to see the problem through?
Yes. Just a little bit of history. you know, after I left the my position, I didn't know about PTSD. I really didn't know what I was going to when I left. And I started drinking and doing other things. And it was for years that I didn't realize what I was going through until I attended a workshop about that. And I realized I was trying to fit in the pain that I felt because I had to deal with, you know, many suicides. And, you know, so it really affected me. And after I stopped drinking, one day I was with my uncle, and just out of blue, he said, one day you have to stop and look at yourself. And that really affected me where I stopped drinking that day.
Oh, wow.
And ever since then, I've pretty much devoted my time working with the tribe, doing as much as possible to make sure everybody's got what they need. And, you know, so that's been my whole mission, is to just try to help our people.
Mm-hmm. Why now for this healing center? Why now as opposed to earlier when you were dreaming about it for so long?
Well, we just never had the opportunity. We never had the funds. We weren't really focused on that. It wasn't until the roads from our side of the island to Portage Bay was connected that I went out there with one of our staff. We went out to look at the road, and he had worked on the laying out the road when he worked for Forest Service years ago. So he knew the area very well, and he asked me if I wanted to see this building that's out there. So I said, sure, let's go look at it. And we come around the corner, and I saw that building, and I said, there's our healing center. He looked at me, and he said, that would make a great one. So we looked it over, and when I got back to town, I called the regional forester in Juneau and talked to him about what I'd like to use it for.
What did they say?
At the time, he thought it was about the best reuse of the building that he could think of. You know, I really want to express my gratitude to the Forest Service for considering my project. And I'm really, really appreciative of them being patient with us as we move through this process. You know, it's taking a little bit more time. Like I said, I never did anything like this before, so I'm trying to loop as many people as I can into the group so we have a better understanding of what needs to be done. That was probably a little over a year ago when I talked to them, and I think it was in January I finally got notice that they were planning on turning it over to OBK. And ever since then, we've been working on trying to put some things together to make it happen. We formed an advisory committee for the healing center. We started off with 8 people, and I think right now we're at 15 or 18 people.
Oh, wow.
And right now we're at the stage of getting a feasibility study put together. Right now, the only thing that's holding me up from taking possession of the building is insurance on the building.
Mm-hmm.
I won't take possession of it unless I have insurance on it. So.
And is that going to be a problem? Is that something that you're in the process with?
Well, we're in the process of looking at that. I have no doubt that we'll find funding to purchase insurance.
Can you tell me a little bit more about exactly what you envision with that building? How would the Healing Center work there?
Well, we are calling it the Cultural Healing Center. So the whole basis of the program will be concentrated on culture, getting people, like I say, grounded in their culture, letting them know who they are, where they come from, who their clan is, doing our traditional stuff with them, whether it be carving, beading, weaving, anything you could think of that we do with talking with people. You know, that was the forefront of pretty much our conversation that we've had with people, is getting them grounded in their culture and keeping them busy, getting them out on the land, you know, whether it's out there gathering our medicines or berries, whatever, getting on the beach and gathering there too, and also on the water. Because a lot of people I know here in our community don't have boats, they don't have cars, you know, so they don't really get the opportunity to participate in a lot of the stuff that I take for granted. You know, I got a boat, I got a car, and I'm always willing to teach what I know to my nephews, my grandsons, anybody that wants to go. And, you know, that has really helped me over the years of being able to provide not only for myself, but for my family and my friends. Mm. And that's all part of our native way of life, is providing not only for yourself, your family, but your friends, your community.
Mm-hmm.
And getting people back into that mindset and giving them purpose in their life, you know, is really, really gratifying. I've done it for years, so I know just to see the smile on somebody's face as you give them something is priceless.
Mm-hmm. Do you imagine that you would be out there at the Healing Center yourself, helping run it?
Well, yeah. You know, right now, I'm hoping to find a partner, somebody that already has experience in running these programs. You know, we're also talking with other communities. And since we started this, more communities have started looking at how they could start things in their communities to help their people.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious where the funding is going to come for this project.
Well, we did have one organization that was able to chip in some money. We're hoping they'll be able to, going back after learning how much shortage on funding we've had, that they'll come back and up the funding. And that's in the works now. At the same time, we're looking at other outside sources, you know, from foundations and stuff to get what we need to do a really good feasibility study.
Yeah. How are the participants who are going to the Healing Center going to be paying for that?
Well, that's why we're trying to partner with somebody that already knows how to do this.
Mm.
You know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel.
That makes sense.
So to speak. I know Medicare will pay for the first 30 days, but how do we get funding for the rest?
Mm.
So probably have to be something like a sliding scale.
Yeah. How long do you anticipate people being at the Healing Center?
Okay, well, that's a good question. We've talked to many people, and my nephew, I think, said it best. He went through the struggle of getting clean and sober.
Mm-hmm.
He said, 30 days, you're just waking up. 60 days, you're finally to the point where you're feeling halfway normal. 90 days, you feel like you can get out and do things. But you still need the aftercare of, you know, helping you to get back into the real world, finding a job, support after you've been out. He said, you still need help. Mm. You know, that's why I want to link up with these other communities and organizations to take care of that part of it after they leave the treatment center. And, you know, we'll work with somebody else to get them into that transitional housing or something.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And Medicare only pays for 30 days. Wow.
That's what I heard. Yeah, we're currently researching that and also the regulations, forms of rehab centers, cultural centers. It's been a learning curve for me. I've never done this before, so everything I'm learning now is so important to try to get it right the first time,
mm-hmm.
rather than coming up afterwards. I want to get everything in place to make sure that it is successful.
Yeah. Who is this program for?
It's ideally going to be for the Southeast region, all the Southeast regional region communities. We've reached out to, I don't know, 4 or 5 communities so far, and had very, very interesting conversations with them about what a cultural healing center would look like to them in their communities. And we've gathered quite a bit of information, and a lot of it is kind of confirming what we had talked about on the cultural side, what needs to be included in there, and pretty much what I had stated earlier about grounding them in their culture, teach them who they are, where they come from, who their clan is, and history. Things that I take for granted, that I know where I come from, where, who my family, who my clan is. A lot of people have forgotten over the years. So we've had very interesting conversations. Each community has the same thing, but they always brought something else out that we never thought of or, you know, never heard of. So, you know, it's exciting. We're taking our time. We're trying to get the curriculum built specifically for Southeast on how to put together a program that would be very specific to our region and to our people.
Hmm. What have people said in these conversations that surprised you?
Well, just on how they approach the situation, there was different ways. I know one community had said they didn't want to put those people that were having a hard time in the spotlight. So they basically set up like a fish camp where they took them, and the elders would go there with them. And it was actually a working fish camp, right?
Mm.
So they worked on different things while they were there, but at the same time, they also talked with them, you know, what they could possibly do to become a better person.
Mm.
And there's a couple others where, you know, they worked with the whole family. The woman would talk with the woman, and men would gather and talk with the man. And, you know, that's the way it was here years ago, too. So all of it is very relevant to what we're trying to do now.
Mm-hmm. Do you see a place for sort of counseling or 12-step mm-hmm. programs or something like that in the healing center as well?
Yes. We found out that from talking with some of the organizations, some of the people that have been through struggles at the 12-step program, which is a good program, but unfortunately did not meet the needs of the Native people. There's a couple, 2 or 3 different programs. One is called the White Bison. The other one's called the Red Road. And there's another one called Well Variety that are being used to in place of the 12-step program. We're looking at those, you know, to gather more information and how we could put together a curriculum for our wellness center.
Mm. And what would success look like for you?
Well, I'm a realist, and I've told people this is, even if we help one person gain their sobriety, you know, that'd be well worth it for me. I know from speaking with people, sometimes it takes multiple times to try to become clean and sober. You know, it's not going to happen overnight in most cases. So if we can help one person and give the option to others that want to try to get their life on track, that would be success for me.
And how do you hope it impacts the communities around Southeast Alaska?
Hopefully we could be like a pilot program for other communities, and hopefully they could at some point look at opening up healing centers of their own, which I know some of them are looking at trying to do now. If we could show that this does work, that they would look at trying to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Would you be interested in helping them start those up?
Oh, yeah. Everything that I do is not only for my community, but for all communities. You know, that's been what I've been doing for years, is working not only for my community, but for all the communities, not only in Southeast, but across Alaska.
Do you have a sense of a time frame for this project?
Well, I gave myself a 1-year time limit. That, you know, God willing, it will happen. But if not, if it has to take longer, then that's what it will be, you know. But I don't like dragging things out. But at the same time, I know we've got to be cautious on moving forward, make sure we get things right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much for joining me, and best of luck on this project. It sounds incredible.
Thank you.
The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.